This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1469. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave broadcasting. On this edition, recorded July 15th, new frequencies for Biafra, Egypt, YFR, clandestine news from Colombia and Cuba, medium wave DX from Brazil, Dominican Republic on AM, FM, and television, and lots more VHF DX, strike news from France and Nigeria, future plans from Kenya and Kuwait, program tips from BBC, and the propagation outlook. From the German and IARU bandwatch via BCDX, a report from DK2OM of a harmonic in the 10-meter band from a broadcast station on 29560 kilohertz at 1910 UT, July 4th. That works out as the fourth harmonic of Belarus on 7390. It's on the air between 11 and 23 UT, according to Wolfgang Büschel. It was in German at the time heard, 1910 UT. And furthermore, the 7390 transmitter produces a mixing product with 7210 landing on 7030. Voice of Biafra International, the clandestine transmitted from WHRI, had been on 17520 reliably since April for the weekly one-hour broadcast, Fridays at 1900 UT. I'd been reconfirming it almost every week, but not lately, so on July 10th I found it missing. But it was soon located on an alternate frequency they've used before, 15665. On the half hour, they were in Igbo for a few minutes, although some English words mixed in, such as self-determination. It seems they are not announcing any frequency on their broadcast like they used to. Perhaps they don't even know what frequency they're actually being broadcast on at the moment. And although they put their latest audio file on their website, the frequency info there is even more out of date, showing 15280 an hour later than reality. That was only used many months ago. But there's a lot on their website, www.biafraland.com. It is, of course, midwinter in the Southern Hemisphere. Perhaps that has something to do with a number of Brazilian medium wave stations getting a head start to North America, as picked up on the main coast by Bruce Conti on one of his expeditions from nearby New Hampshire. He heard the 720 in Porto Alegre, 760 in Fortaleza, 860 in Rio de Janeiro, 1000 in São Paulo, 1220 in Rio, and of some interest, and the 900 kilohertz station in Rio is notably off frequency, 899.52, he measured it, July 8th at 0801 UT. Of course, making a heterodyne against the North American and other South American stations on exactly 900 kilohertz. The same Radio Tamoyo in Rio de Janeiro, ZYJ454, was also reported by Mark Connolly on one of his expeditions near Boston, Massachusetts. June 5th at midnight 29, he measured it on 899.515. Also on the 25th at 2348, when it was on 899.53, and again on the 26th at midnight 59. QSLs are emerging from the new Brazilian time signal station on 10 megahertz, although some reported on 9999, or even 9999.9, as I believe I mentioned last week. The call sign is PPE, Papa Papa Echo, but as far as I know, they don't actually announce the call on the air. Instead, with the time checks every 10 seconds, the ID is Observatorio Nacional. QSLs reported by Mauro Giroletti in Italy. They got a letter and a calendar and a folder full of details. The signer is Ricardo José de Carvalho, head of the Time and Service Division. And another QSL reported by Patrick Robich in Austria on the ADX group. The power was previously listed as 300 watts, but now the QSL says they're running a full 1 kilowatt. Doug Smith reports some interesting government actions from the CRTC in Canada. There was a notice of hearing over proposed changes about non-commercial radio, briefly mentioning the possible expansion of the FM band in Canada down to 76 megahertz. Such an idea has also been mentioned by the FCC as a possibility in regard to localism in radio. That is turning over what have been the TV channels 5 and 6 to more and more FM. Yumber Gaviria in Colombia sends us numerous press reports, several of them about the topic of the FARC clandestine station of the rebels in Colombia being heard across the border in Ecuador. It's not totally clear whether they actually have a transmitter on FM across in Ecuador, but it's certainly being heard in the adjacent country. Frequencies are not mentioned extensively, but going through all these stories, I see some of them mentioned. 94.7, 95.9, 104.9, 105.1. Also 100.9. It seems an alternate ID is Cadena Radial Bolivariana. Many of these stories appear in the latest issue of DX Listening Digest 9052 via worldofradio.com. I haven't checked for Radio Havana's Esperanto service for a few weeks. Among the times it's scheduled Sundays only are 1500 UT on a 11760. Others had reporting it missing, and it was still missing July 12th, when that was one of the frequencies still used by Havana for their extended all-day Spanish broadcasts, 11760 along with 13760, 6000, and 5965, all because of the Honduran situation. Jeff White sent a new program grid of WRMI. I'm posting these in the file section of the DX Listening Digest Yahoo group, since they do not appear updated on the WRMI website itself. There's some technical problem about doing that, but there have been quite a few programming changes. For example, Radio Cuba Libre has disappeared. It had been running 7 days a week between 12 and 14 UT, and I believe another time late at night, but it's no longer on the schedule at all. Jeff White says Radio Cuba Libre ran out of money this week, so it's off the air till further notice. He says if the CIA were really financing us, like Arnie says, and he includes Glenn too, we wouldn't have those problems. I would love to be financed by the CIA. Despite the lack of CIA money, WRMI engineers were finally able to get the antenna switcher to operate as part of the automation system, so we no longer have to do this manually. Now everything should always be on time and program automation coordinated with antenna switches, at least after a week or two to work out the bugs. The Dominican Republic station at the top of the X-band, 1700 kilohertz, is listed in the World Radio TV handbook as a construction permit, but now it is on the air, says Andrew Braid in the UK, in the July-August issue of Medium Wave News. It's being heard in the UK. The idea is Radio Eternidad Impacto el Presente con un Mensaje Eterno. Call sign is not known, but the power is 5 kilowatts in the daytime, 1 kilowatt at night. No activity on shortwave from the Dominican Republic, but not only is it being DX'd on Medium Wave, but on television and FM. Thanks to the close down of all full-power TV stations in the U.S. on VHF and UHF, notably the low-band channels 2 to 6, it's now wide open for DX from Latin America, and TV DXers in the U.S. and Canada are having a field day pulling in Caribbean and Latin American stations, many of which are at double-hop sporadic distance, previously blocked by all the U.S. stations on Channel 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, notably WPBT-2 in Miami, which is now gone for good. For example, on Channel 2 from the Dominican Republic, Tele Antillas, heard by Fred Nordquist in South Carolina, July 13th at 1442 UT. He's close enough, I think, for it to be single hop, and it is an all-over water path. He may have heard it before, seen it before. The call sign is HIJB. But it got a lot further. Bill Hepburn in Grimsby, Ontario, near Toronto, was getting Spanish on Channel 2 at 2330 UT, July 13th. And he got a photograph of the logo in the upper right corner. He thought it might be HIJB, Tele Antillas, and it's confirmed by Jeff Rostron in Massachusetts, all on the WTFDA list. Their logo has the letters TA in it. John Sargon in Delaware was hearing Spanish on 88.1, which turned out to be HIGP in Barahona, Dominican Republic, almost 1,500 miles away, so that could be a long single hop or a double hop. This was at 1750 UT, I believe, on July 7th. And another Dominican station also hopped in on FM to Robert Ross in London, Ontario, on 88.9 HIJC in Santiago, 1940 UT, July 7th. And he says it was in and out for well over an hour. The ID is Disco 89, or Solo Disco, with lots of mentions of Santiago and Puerto Plata. The distance for him, for only 3,000 watts, was 1,730 miles. Radio Cairo's 6860 frequency seems to carry a variety of unscheduled programming. Our new reporter, Robert Fürster in Germany, says he heard it at 1700 UT, July 9th, in English instead of scheduled Turkish, and it was parallel to the only frequency supposed to be in English at that hour, 12170. However, it was Cairo, so the audio was so terribly distorted it was difficult to determine if a man or a woman was speaking. He also heard it the next day, July 10th, at 1754, again in English, on both frequencies with distorted audio. Another English broadcast from Cairo, Egypt, is on 11510. Jorge Freitas in Brazil reported it July 8th at 1942, someone translating something from the Arabic. He says the modulation was good during the music, but when the announcers were speaking, it was hard to understand anything. Well, that's very typical for Cairo. The long-delayed trial of evangelist Tony Alamo finally got underway July 13th in Texarkana. Meanwhile, he continues to be heard, rambling on as usual, probably programs recorded long ago via WINB, WWCR, and Radio Africa in Equatorial Guinea. Rather than go into details, as the trial is still developing, I'll refer you to the website, which rounds up lots of press about this, www.tonyalamonews.com. The Radio France International website reports that the strike at RFI was suspended on July 10th at a mass meeting of journalists, technical and other staff. Unions leading the action say they will relaunch industrial action in September in their efforts to fight a management plan to axe 206 jobs if a settlement is not reached before then. At 9 weeks, the strike was the longest in the history of broadcasting in France since the general strike in 1968. Representatives of the unions and the management were to meet with the Ministry of Culture. They've hailed this as a kind of negotiation of the sort they'd been demanding for weeks. The action was selective. Key workers took action to disrupt broadcasts with their earnings made up from collections by supporters of the strike who were still working. Strike leaders stressed that they have not accepted management's plan to axe over 200 jobs and describe the suspension as a summer truce. They do not want to penalize freelance journalists and workers on short-term contracts who become more numerous in the summer. The strike had begun on May 12th. It wasn't entirely clear exactly which date programming would return to normal. Mike Cooper said it was to be July 14th. However, on July 13th, Dragan Lekic in Serbia says finally the broadcasts in South Slavic languages were back to normal. We have a number of reports of the only shortwave transmitter active from Guinea-Conakry on 7125. Manuel Mendez in Spain heard it July 2nd at 0610 with French commentaries and African songs. Then on July 9th at 2212, it's reported by Jim Evans in Tennessee, but it was very weak, just above the noise level with West African pop music and some talk in French. He heard it until at least 2301. Also reported by Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal, July 7th, until 2302, with newscast Balafon Music, and on July 8th at 1255 to 1455. He's close enough to West Africa to get some of those stations at midday. About Honduras, the Washington Post ran a story on July 9th, media's coverage of the crisis criticized as one-sided. You might want to look up the whole story if you can find it. Thanks to Mike Cooper for sending that on to us. We know of one active DXer in Honduras, Elmer Escoto. So we asked him, especially about press reports that Radio America and Radio Progreso had been attacked or closed down or come back on the air. So what is their current status? And here is his take on that. He says both of those stations are on the air, Radio Progreso on 1130 and 103.3 FM and Radio America on many FM and medium wave frequencies. This was as of July 13th. He says Radio America remains neutral, while Radio Progreso is clearly sided with the Marxist-Leninist Chavist ideology and is retransmitting news from Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua, throwing in a bunch of lies. Radio Progreso and all Cuban and Venezuelan stations are saying that the army is killing people and wounding people by the hundreds, that hospitals are full, and the military is recruiting youths by force. Everything is a lie, a propaganda effort from the enemies of freedom. Those sources also say the government has shut down many newspapers, radio, and TV stations. Elmer Escoto says that is also a lie. All stations are operating normally. From the world's largest democracy, India, here's another story headed, private FM stations again denied the right to broadcast news. There are a total of 248 private FM stations in India and 171 All India Radio stations, according to official figures. But only AIR is allowed to broadcast news, according to this story from radioandmusic.com via Jaisaktivel in Chennai. So much for freedom of the press in the world's largest democracy. This is World of Radio 1469. Your contributions always welcome to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702 USA, or WORADIO at yahoo.com. Our thanks for financial support go to Clayton Stapleton. I'm still hearing every Tuesday, including July 14th, on the 13 UT broadcast in English from Voice of Indonesia on 9525.9, a hookup with RRI Banjarmasin. It's called Exotic Indonesia, and apparently it's going on every Tuesday from April through December. Ron Howard found a website at VOI explaining the name of the station and giving the dates. However, it shows the year is 2008 instead of 2009. I guess that's a mistake, unless all these hookups are repeats from 1 year ago. Ron Howard in California also reminds us of an English program, well, a partial English program, from Radio Nikkei 1 in Japan. It's Saturday at 0830 to 09 UT, heard July 11th. Let's read the Nikkei Weekly. It's presented by several announcers, apparently reading the publication that Nikkei puts out. And there are ads for English language testing. It's sponsored by the Society for Testing English Proficiency. This was heard on 9595 and 6055. Kim Elliott found a report from Business Daily Africa about Kenya mentioning that the government plans to stop radio broadcasts on costly medium wave and shortwave. Chris Greenway, who has close connections to Kenya, He explains that shortwave was already dropped at least two sesquiyears ago, and the future of medium wave is far from assured. KBC took out a large loan in the late 80s to finance a major revamp of its medium wave networks. It's still largely operational and one of the more extensive medium wave networks in Africa in terms of transmitters and powers, but it's largely redundant as most listening is now on FM, which has not been upgraded. Running all those 50 and 100 kilowatt medium wave transmitters runs up a big power bill. KBC has not been able to service the debt, and revenues have been hit by competition from private stations. The Kenyan press has been publishing stories predicting the KBC's collapse under its debt burden. Chris says, I doubt the government would allow this to happen, but a switch off of some of the medium wave transmitters is very possible. That would leave the remote half of the country in the north and east, containing only 5% of the population, largely without access to KBC radio. Satellite DXer Mark Fay in New South Wales tells us that he has recorded what is believed to be a first from North Korea, an actual commercial from their television service. It's for Taedong River beer, and it runs, I think, 2 or 3 minutes. He put it up on YouTube. Quite amusing to see how the North Koreans are going commercial. I won't attempt to give you the YouTube link verbally, but of course there is a link to it in the latest DX Listening Digest. Rachel Bond forwards the latest quarterly newsletter for summer from Thomson Broadcast and Multimedia, saying that the Broadcasting Board of Governors has awarded Thomson supply of a rotatable shortwave antenna system for the Kuwait station, enhancing coverage and flexibility. It's a rotatable shortwave antenna type HP-RCA-22, high-performance rotatable curtain array, including high-band and low-band antenna. Based on the Thomson Rotatable Curtain Array 4-4, the 2-2 system is optimized for near-distance coverage up to 4 megameters. Ron Howard in California notes the Samnoa Regional Station in Laos on 4412.6 variable, July 8th until 1231 sign-off, with unusual programming. Usually after 1200, they're relaying Vientiane, same as 6130, but not on that date. Perhaps they lost the feed from the capital. The next day, they were back to normal programming, parallel to 6130. He's also heard 7145 with the external service between 1302 and 1356, or 1359 another day, including English starting around 1333. Well, with all the Oklahoman and other U.S. stations gone from Channel 4, as well as 2 and 3, I've been getting lots of Mexican skip. TVDX coming in. There was a especially good opening on July 9th and 8th for most of the day. I won't give all the details. It's often difficult to get a local ID from Mexican stations, but at least we can figure out which network is being seen by the bugs in the corner or the programming listings. And on July 8th, the opening also got up at least halfway up the FM dial from several stations in Tampico and San Luis Potosí. No luck here so far, but with all the U.S. stations gone, there have been a number of reports of TV stations on 2, 3, and 4 as far away as Venezuela and Colombia, skipping in to North America. So it really pays to look for such signals and don't assume anything in Spanish is necessarily from nearby Cuba or Mexico. On July 9th at 0626, I was surprised to be hearing Voice of Nigeria in the middle of the night on 15120 in English. But on July 10th, Torsten Hamann in Germany, proprietor of Africa List, says in the past week, I've observed Voice of Nigeria broadcasts only on 15120 and only during certain hours, 06 to 07 in English, 7 to 8 in French, and 17 to 19 in English. And these times are also announced at the end of the broadcasts, but no other English or French transmissions. He wonders if there could be a strike. Well, as a matter of fact, there has been a strike in Nigeria concerning broadcasting, according to the Daily Independent via the Media Network blog. state-owned radio and TV, were set to join an ongoing one-week-old strike by workers belonging to the RATTAWU union and two others, protesting non-payment of 33-month monetization arrears owed them by the federal government. However, Voice of Nigeria is also installing new shortwave equipment, which could also account for a temporary reduction in some of their transmissions, according to Thompson Broadcast and Multimedia's newsletter via Rachel Bond. RNZI's mailbox for June 29th, which should be available on demand for a bit longer, had a report about upgrading the shortwave facilities in the Solomon Islands and Vanuatu. However, Gordon Brown reports via BCDX that there are no shortwave broadcasts at present from Solomon's as of July 7th. The transmitter on 9541 was turned off to save electricity. It was not covering the Solomon's, but was being heard elsewhere, which was not its purpose. And 5020 is still awaiting spare parts. Well, I had had no trace of Solomon's 9541.5 for at least a week. Could it be that DX reports from overseas, in this case, were counterproductive? On the shortwave programs group, Rich Cuff recommends a couple of BBC Radio 4 programs which are not on shortwave. Actually, the first one is now running on BBC Radio 7, which is the non-broadcast service, playing stuff from the BBC archives, including This Sceptred Isle, which is an audio history of the UK that has aired since 1995. It airs weekdays, each 15-minute program. It's currently in the 20th century. The schedule is at 1300 and repeated at 03 UT, online via BBC 7. And then on BBC Radio 4 itself, there's a new series called Americana, the U.S. Through British Eyes. It's scheduled Sundays at 1815 to 1845 UT, and like everything else, on demand for at least 1 week, probably only 1 week. Tarek Zaidan in Denmark picked up a gospel station in English on 9935, starting at 2200 UT. It's not on any of the online schedules, so it's something new. We eventually determined that it was exactly synchronized with 9790, which we know is coming from the French Guiana relay. And Dragan Lekic confirms from IBB monitoring that both of these, whether they're on the schedules or not, are at least current tests of family radio via French Guiana, lasting at least until midnight UT. Well, in fact, until 0100, I think, in the case of 9935. World Radio Network reports a new affiliate broadcasting across Providence, Rhode Island from Massachusetts, WARL 1320 AM. No details on exactly when they're broadcasting WRN, but we'd like to know if they're doing so when World of Radio is on. The propagation outlook from Boulder, issued July 14th. ANK indices mostly 5 and 2, but a peak to 12 and 4 on July 21st. Solar flux only 68, creeping up to 70 between July 25th and August 5th. And that's World of Radio 1469. Glenn Hauser inviting you back next week.